Meeting to order, stand for the pledge.
Salute, pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, and just for a matter of record, let me say that all board members are present in person at the meeting, and we will move on to communications and reports from our superintendent. He will give us an update. So update us, please.
All right, I will update you. Thank you. I wanted to go over a few burning questions that have come up since the government has put out there about reopening schools. They don't seem to know that some of us have been open all year, but so I just want to clarify a few things for the board. So what is the definition of in-person instruction? This seems to be an ongoing question. So the in-person instruction is instruction under the immediate physical supervision and control of a certificated employee of the school district while engaged in educational activities. So in other words, it is about being in the classroom. It's not distance learning. Okay, so that's what in-person instruction is on the definition that they've used. So ABSB 86 is the policy that they put through. And what does it require of the board? The only plan that you will have to approve will be our expanded or our expenditure plan. So what we're going to have to do is put a plan together on how we will spend, and this is the state money that's coming, not the federal money, but the state money. However, as you guys know, I bring all the plans through you, and you've already approved all the MOUs and all the reopening plans and all the safety plans, and so we're good to go with that. Does it require negotiations to reopen? And the answer is no for us, because we are already open. If you were not already open, then you would have to go in and negotiate the plan. But because we are open, we will not have to do that. However, with that being said, I do want to say that if we decide at some point we want to somehow change, like add days or add hours or do something like that, that would be negotiable.
Since we've been one of the only schools open for the whole year, I think we should leave with being one of the only schools to go full time first.
I have that here. So I have some information on that as well. And you are saying the same thing that a lot of people are saying, but we do have parameters that we do have to follow, unfortunately. So do the schools in the district have to reopen to receive the funding? Do all schools? Again, it doesn't really matter to us, but for others, they do not. It has to be relevant groups within your tier. So we're currently in purple tier, which means that if we weren't open, if we were still in purple by April 1st, our requirement would be to bring in special ed, homeless, second language, et cetera. But because we're already open and we're surpassing what is in the plan, we don't have to worry about that. Where's the money coming from? So there's a number of different pots of money. The state money is coming in two different pots. One is $2 billion, not all to us, unfortunately. $2 billion coming through the reopening plan money. And that is money that the governor and legislator put together to get people to open up. The other pot of money, which is $4.67 billion, is actually part of Prop 98. So it is money that we were going to get anyways in a fashion, but we're getting it a little early, but it will be taken out of next year, basically. And again, giving us money in one pocket, taking out of the other and putting strings attached to what they give us. But that's where that money's coming from. Then we have potentially two sources of funding coming from the federal government. We have The first stimulus, the December stimulus, you guys remember that one where everybody got $600? Well, there's money for schools. We have not received it yet, but that's called the ESSER number one, and we should get money from that one. In fact, I put in for it the other day.
Is that based on ADA?
It is based on somewhat ADA, but also your Title I. So for example, we're getting quite a bit more than Plumas Lake, even though we have similar ADAs, but we have a higher free and reduced lunch population than they have. And then the stimulus package that was signed today is called the ESSER number two, and that one we will be getting money from as well at some point. And see, the thing is they signed something today, and they get the $1,400 that's going to go to people by the end of the month. So in December, when Trump signed it, everybody got their check that it was going to get one by the end of December. We still haven't gotten it, because what happens is they send it to the state, and then the state sits on it, I'm assuming to gain interest or whatever, or put all their things in place. And then, so we should get half of the December money in May and the other half in August.
I just don't understand the, which you can't answer, the whole stimulus thing. I mean, people get stimulus, like we get stimulus money, and our income has not been affected at all. Right. You know, my parents are retired, their income hasn't been affected at all. But then schools who need the money to, you know, educate, they're sitting on, and it makes absolutely zero sense. Instead of helping restaurants and waitresses and people who have been affected truly by it, because we're going to get taxed on this eventually, we're going to have to pay all this back. And it's very frustrating. Yeah.
Well, again, I don't, the federal government's the only entity that can print money, right? So they're writing a bunch of checks that there's no money to back it. But that's a whole different discussion, how they put it out there and who's getting the money and who's not getting the money and so on and so forth. So that's where the money is coming from. And all of the pots of money, I need to reiterate this 100 times, are one-time only funding. Okay, it's going to come in. It's got a lot of parameters on where we can spend it and what we can spend it on.
So no salaries, no ongoing costs.
No ongoing costs unless we want to go in the proverbial toilet in the future. And the thing is right now, all of it is supposed to be spent within about a year. And it's a significant amount of money coming in. And because we've done so much already, like with all of our HVAC and all that stuff, where other districts haven't done that, it will be a challenge to fit the parameters of everything that the state is saying that we have to spend the money on.
No. You give us an opportunity, it'll be just fine.
I know those principals can spend that money, not a problem, but I refrained, Jody, I refrained, and you just threw it out there.
Can you mute Jody? So moving on, of the state money, interesting piece that got put in there is 10% of the money that we will receive must be used for paraeducators. And so what does that mean? The money that we're going to get, it is for paraprofessional positions financed through this expanded learning opportunities grant program, must be for supplemental instruction and support consistent with Ed Code 43522. Supplemental instruction is defined as instructional programs providing an addition to and complementary to the regular instructional program, including services provided in an IEP. Support is defined as intervention provided by as a supplement. So in other words, we can't use the money to pay for the paras we currently have to do the job that they're currently doing. We can pay for 1 year to increase the paras to full-time or something for 1 year, to provide supplemental instruction to students. So it's not what they're normally doing. It will be intervention.
Is this their idea of getting caught up from being so far behind?
It's part of their idea. I mean, they have so many ideas that are almost unreasonable to even think about. But somehow this is in there. And so it's a challenge for any school district right now to hire paraeducators into, let's say we decided we wanted to add paras to second, third, fourth, and fifth grade, just as an example, with some of this money. We can't find people because nobody wants to come work 3.5 hours a day when they're getting an extra $300-$400 a week by staying on unemployment, right? So it's we've got this problem that's going on with hiring. So this will be an interesting one. And part of the 10% can be used for training, and part of the 10% can be used for special ed paras, again, with the understanding that it has to be instructional programs provided in addition to the complementary education. So it's all about bringing extra people in to help the students, or adding extra days or summer schools, or increasing the length of the day. And all of those are difficult to do for many reasons, but one is because now you're going to have to negotiate, what does that look like? And we've already kind of put some feelers out about how many people would be willing to do some intervention summer school at the lower grades. And we're getting pretty much zero people wanting to do it. Now, not everybody's responded yet.
Are you talking about teachers?
Teachers. Because part of the thing is we could use the money for a intense intervention summer school. But you got to have people to do that, right? So these are the things that we're combating at the moment. This is all brand new stuff. So
any talk of a cut year, or, I mean, can the state mandate a longer? I know our governor has talked about going longer into the summer. Can he mandate that? Or is that something, if he says it, we still have to negotiate with our teachers?
So if there were legislative action to increase the school year from 180 days to say 200, then we would be required to follow that action, but then we would be required to negotiate with our employees on what does that mean? Because they're currently contracted to work 180, and then they would have to be work 181, they'd have to be contracted to work 200. And so what is the cost of that?
They have the opportunity to say, no, we're not, as a unit, we're not doing that?
That's a big question that's probably never gonna have to answer, because I don't think that the legislature has the backing to increase the school year across the board. But if they did it legislatively and said, this is what the school year is, then no, they would have to do it.
I mean, I realize we'd have to pay them their daily rate, and they would be entitled to it. But if we have basically no one who wants to, you know, step out and do, you know, summer classes, then it would be, I wonder how it would be if we did have to negotiate those extra days.
Yeah, and, you know, I think that if we decided as a district to go down the road of adding to the calendar or adding to the day, we have to negotiate that, no matter whether it's sent to us or not sent to us from the state. It's something that, you know, when you look at the priorities of what to do, that's where we would have to
go through the process. The money that is coming, and you have to use it on certain things. What about the stuff we've already purchased, like
the money that I just kind of laid out for you, where it's coming from, is all new money. We had previous money that came to buy. That's how we did the HVAC systems, and we did the foggers and some of the PPE and a lot of different things like that. So we've already spent money there.
A lot of districts didn't do that.
No, they're sitting on it. Okay. Yeah, they're sitting on the money. So
they don't have kids in class yet.
Right. I mean, here's an example. Marysville is received, I don't know what they received previously, but they're on the books to receive before this newest stimulus, about $20 million. I don't know, they have very old HVAC systems, so they may be able to blow through that fairly quickly. But, you know, what are they gonna do with it? I don't know, I'd be putting generators in all those schools that lose power and all that, but that's up to them. So
the last time I asked about the HVAC, you said they weren't in yet. Are they in now?
Oh no, ours are in. They've been in since we've been back in school. Okay. Yeah. I don't know if it was a specific one that we were waiting on that when you asked the question, but no, they've been in since September, October. So, if we have, okay, so the next question, if we have part-time paraprofessionals, can we use the money to pay them to become full-time? And the answer is yes, we can do that. But again, one-time only money. So you do it for a year and then you have to cut it all back. And then can we recode our paraprofessionals? The answer is no, because they already have a current job. Can any of the grant funds be allowed to pay for hazard pay to employees? And the answer is yes, a small percentage of it can be. It is only the reopening incentive funding that is eligible for that, and it can't, it's only eligible if some districts aren't going to get the reopening money because they're not going to reopen by April 1st. They can use some of the other money, but if we get the reopening money, you can't use the other money. It's very confusing. But bottom line is, I need to reiterate 100% that we cannot put this money on salary schedules. We cannot. Because if we do, next year when we do not have the money, we will be shutting the doors. So if there's any kind of hazard pay or whatever, it would have to be one time only kind of stuff.
Well, wouldn't the hazard pay been right when we first opened and it was unknown?
Yeah, we didn't have the money then, but yeah.
I mean, but it was unknown at that time. I mean, we're pretty safe and pretty, I mean,
They just call it hazard pay. It's not really hazardous in our school district. They call it that because we were working during a pandemic. And I think it was the way of, remember, governments are controlled a lot by unions. And so it's the way of the unions getting their hands in saying that some of that money should be used for
employees. So money on top. No. I'm going to stay off the government issue.
just moving, I only have a few more things about this. What if students and staff refuse to get COVID tested? Okay. Part of the original policy was you had to have, if you were in purple, you had to test weekly of your staff and students. All of that is out of the reopening plan because we're already open. So if we weren't already open, then, and we were still in purple, then we would have to have a testing cadence where staff and students would have to get tested weekly. But, and then when you went to red or orange or yellow, the testing goes away. But in purple, you'd have to be tested weekly. But because we're already open, we do not have, even if we're in purple, which we will not be for much longer, but even if we were in purple, we would not have to do the testing because we're already open. So there's a lot of benefits that we've had that fell into this place because we already opened. What about a hybrid? Is it eligible for funding? The answer is yes. Hybrids are eligible for the funding because you are putting students in instruction in the classroom. So this is one of the answers to what you said earlier, Nikki. Does the SB AB 86 change the physical distancing requirement from 6 feet? And the answer is no. That is through the CDPH, and they determine the foot issue, how far away they have to be. It is now shifting. It has shifted that 6 feet is still highly recommended, but you can drop down to no less than 4 feet if it's necessary to open. So, they've actually said the 4 feet is going to be from middle of chair to middle of chair. Peter's done some moving around of furniture over at we think we can get 24 maximum in a classroom at 4 feet apart. The issue with that is all of our fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, and eighth grade classes are above 24.
But
so
could we move them to the, well, I guess not, we couldn't do the, we could do the gymnasium, but we couldn't do like the lunchroom because they would be there all day.
Well, there's two problems there. One is we don't have a lot of space to put them. And the other one is we don't have staff. So we would have to go out and hire additional teachers if we offshot kids. And there's first of all, what teacher is going to come to work for you for 1 month or 1 year, right? And know that they're going to be out. So that they're working on the distance thing and it may change. But right now we're sticking to the 6 feet because we're still on the hybrid. We could potentially go to the 4 feet once we went into red out of purple, but it wouldn't cause us to be able to bring back all the kids 100%. We would be able to do it in TK through third grade. We just wouldn't be able to do it fourth through eighth.
Well, and that's kind of the really important years too of the basics of reading and writing, and you know, those are important years. But not be fair to parents, would not be happy if it,
that,
you know,
that was
they had,
be my point.
Yeah, no, I get that. I was when I was thinking of moving classes, I was saying keeping one teacher with that many, but find a bigger area, like, okay, we're going to use the library for this, we'll use this, but not thinking that if we're back full time, we're going to need to use the library, we're going to need to use the lunchroom, we're going to need to use.
Right. Well, we wouldn't be able to do lunch. So lunch would still have to be in the classroom because you can't put them all together in the lunchroom because you'd have to maintain that 4 feet. So that would be available, and so would potentially the library or some of those things. The biggest issue with it is you have to adhere to that 4 feet. Peter sent me something that Dry Creek and Roseville's gonna, after spring break, bring all their kids back. So he knows somebody there, so I asked him to call. And basically what they're doing is they're putting 24 kids in a room and then they're offshooting kids. And so the teacher, they're gonna have a paraprofessional in a offshoot room with six or eight kids while the teacher teaches the kids and Zooms to those kids over there. Well, that kind of defeats the purpose, right? I mean, it's still, it defeats the purpose.
It's still not normal.
But I know that this is being talked about a lot at the state level about the distance and all of that. So that's kind of it in a nutshell about the money that may or may not be coming. Most of it will be coming at some point. I just have a couple other things and we'll move on. So what we're being told is within the next couple days, the state will meet the threshold of 2 million doses in the zip codes with the highest rates of infection. So why do we care about that? We care about that because following the 2 millionth shot, the moving from purple goes from 7 out of 100,000 up to 10. Well, we're already right around 7, so we would instantly go into red once that happened. Which opens up some, not a lot for us in schools, but it opens up businesses in town and so on and so forth. So when that change happens, our county would move into the red 48 hours after the announcement. And then it also opens up orange and yellow. And now they're talking about having a green tier, which I'm assuming a green tier would be all go and life's good. I don't know.
In 2022.
Yeah. And last but not least, vaccines for our employees. So I'll report to you what I report to the county. We have currently 10 employees at, and these are what I know because I asked them to report to me, and not everybody does, but I get most of it. 10 employees that have received both doses. We have 96 employees that have received the first dose. A large portion of those will get their second dose next Wednesday and then the following Wednesday. That most of those will be double dosed. We have 4 employees that I'm aware of that have appointments scheduled this week. We have 24 on the list that either have not scheduled an appointment or haven't told me they scheduled an appointment. So they're just sitting in the waiting to be scheduled. And then we have 72 employees that are opting out of taking the vaccine. 72. So it's basically a 35% of our 65% of our staff is going to take it. 35% are opting out currently. Some of those 35% that are opting out currently are waiting to see if we all grow a third arm or something before they do it, right? So they, I think some of those will, once they see that us guinea pigs have taken it, that they may do it. There's others that just won't do it. So there is a push. I will tell you, I don't think it's going to go anywhere, but there is a push to make it mandatory for educators to get vaccinated. I don't think they have the backing to make it happen, but.
Well, they haven't been able to force medical people to get
it. No, and it's really pushing down that there are individual businesses right now can tell their employees, you must get it or you can't work. And they've already, there's been already a couple court cases and it's been proven that they can do that. Government entities, it would have to come from the government. We can't do it as a district. Although there are some attorneys that say, yes, you can.
Well, we kind of do that with seventh graders.
But that's
different. Check them out of school because they don't have their.
Yeah, but that came from the government. We right. didn't, we didn't do it individually.
The government wanted to.
They may, they, I don't think they will, but they may. All right, moving on to attendance. At the time of the agenda, we had 1,272 students. We have 837 in our TK through fifth grade. We have 368 in our middle school program. We have 67 currently in the HBIS program. Overall, we are 98 students less. Yay, we broke that 100. 98 students less than we had last year at this time. And we have three more than we had last month. And we have 97 students in our preschool program, which is three more than last month, but 31 less than last year. So that is it for my long.
Well, that was really lengthy. Thank you. You know. Thanks for solving all of our. Okay. Any communication from the public? Where's Annette? No Annette? Any communication from the public? Come on. Somebody's got to have something. Nothing? I know Jody wants to say something. I can see it in her eyes.
I totally do. And Annette's not here, but I do want to give a big shout out to Annette because she's helped coordinate Youth Sparks. It's from Microsoft. It's free. And our fourth and fifth graders at Lone Tree School and Wheatland Charter Academy will be participating in that on March 25th. And that's to inspire coding and career paths in the technology fields. So Annette has been very helpful with getting that off the ground and getting that to us at no cost.
Any updates on or reasoning gate issues, Jody? I know, I'm just.
Since this is being recorded, I will be cautious. The gates are awkward. Right now, Vassar Lake is closed for at least 3 weeks, and they are actually doing some work there, so it is an infrastructure.
Oh, no, it's different when it's done in 3 weeks.
Yeah, it might look different. It should.
Okay.
And Grass Valley Gate is open now for 2 hours in the morning, which makes some of our staff very happy. And it's open for a short period in the afternoon. So that's helping the morning busing. The gates are just very complicated. They tell us that until they have more manning and they drop down a tier themselves with COVID, that we won't be opening more gates. So we're just... You know, Tara was thrilled the other day. She got to come through the Grass Valley Gate. So, you know, we count our blessings when the gates are open, and the other times we just plan ahead. And I know that at least one day this week, the longest wait that I know of for a staff member was 50 minutes to get in the gate. So we're getting a little better. You know, we have to plan anywhere from 10 to 50 minutes. It's just kind of how it is right now.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And I know you guys have huge waits and have to leave super early. And so I just want to thank you personally to you and your staff that have to leave so early and get out there. And I know there was that one day when it was just really super, super bad. So thank you for leaving early and doing all that. We appreciate it.
You're welcome. And I want to thank Craig because that one Monday when it was over an hour wait, he opened up the DO so teachers could actually circle back and do their Zooms from the DO. So thank you. I actually had a staff member open, Kayleen Appleton, opened her house to get another teacher in so that they wouldn't miss their Zooms with kids. So we
Rich told me, he said there were preschoolers, no teachers, no secretaries, no nothing. I said,
no. The office staff, Jackie and Jen, went down and covered preschool for a little bit, and Jen kind of fell in love with the preschool. She's like, they gave me gifts, they gave me a rock, and so, bam, it's very much a team effort. Everybody pulls together, and, you know.
That's the best part of my day is picking up at Wheatland L and seeing the preschool kids playing on the playground equipment, no mask, running around screaming. It just makes my heart huge, so I could see how she fell in love. Any other public comment? Okay, we will move on to the consent agenda. Any questions, comments? If not, I will entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Motion to approve the consent agenda.
Motion. Okay, motion by Regine Waltz, second by Ronnie Eaton. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, we're not doing a poll for each one.
No,
okay.
I don't think you have to unless there's
okay.
A dissenting vote.
Okay, then I will not worry about it. Okay, we are going to move on to action items. 5.1, approve awards of the E-Rate project.
Okay, so this comes to you each year. E-Rate is a government-funded technology-based project, and we have to go out to bid, and then we have to bring the bids to the board for approval. This particular bid, I believe it's Comcast, right? Is Comcast won the approval, and we hire a company that does the E-rate to make sure we're on the legal side of it, and so this is the contract being brought forward to you for approval, so we can move on with that. And Chad's here; he can answer any questions that you may have about the technology side of it.
We have last time? Was it Comcast?
Yeah, we've had Comcast. We literally, there was a window because of COVID that we were able to increase speed like outside of the normal window. So we went for that and we're now getting ready to implement, go from 1 gig to 5 gig everywhere. So because everybody's doing video conferencing, we need to upgrade the bandwidth. So that's what we're doing now. But yeah, we've always been with Comcast. I think we haven't had AT&T here for 10, 12 years, so.
Any questions or comments about the E-rate, which we just questioned him, but any other question? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
First?
Second.
First, second, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, we'll move on to 5.2, adoption of the 2021 second interim report, budget revisions, and EPA certifications.
All right, Chad, can you put the PowerPoint in?
This is your favorite thing. Okay. Yeah.
Singing the budget.
All right, so as you know, we bring you an original budget. Original budget in June for the school year. Then we bring you the first interim in September, and that's when we clean up from the original. This is the second interim, so we're cleaning up again, adding and taking out. And then at the end of the year, you will get the final budget. And then it goes the following September-ish, you will get the audited budget. So it's kind of a long presentation of the budget. So let's move on to the first slide, please. So right now, we're still awaiting the governor's budget proposal, final budget proposal. Again, it's the governor does his thing, and then he does another one usually in March-ish, April, and then it's not actually official until the legislature rules on it by June 30th. But right now, Surprisingly, state revenues are coming in slightly higher than what they projected. And again, additional CARES funding is in the works. I do want to be upfront about where we are right here. None of the money that we're anticipating through the reopening money or any of the stimulus money is in the budget because we don't have it. We have an idea of how much it'll be, but we don't, until we get it, we don't put it in the budget. So moving on to revenues, what changed? Nothing in LCFF. So we, in our first interim, we had 12 million, and in our second interim, we have 12 million. There's no change there. Moving on to federal, we did increase our federal revenue by about $226,000. Most of that is, some of that is CARES funding and some of it is impact aid that came in higher than we had budgeted. So there's an additional $226,000 in federal. Moving on to local or state, $34,000. Most of that is an increase in grants. So the grants that we get, that Ange and Shelly go over at Bear River, most of the increase is in that strong workforce grant and some other small.
Can I ask a quick grant question?
Yes.
So for like Tara's program, since, I mean, you know, because we don't have, I mean, she's still using the CARES, I get that. Is there going to be any kind of like carryover? Or, I mean, will she, I guess, is the question is, she's not going to lose it if she doesn't use it, correct?
Tara's here, and you can, she can respond specifically, but no, we are using it.
Yeah.
And
just not to the extent.
Not to the extent, but we also don't have, we don't have the number of students in it, and we certainly don't have the staff.
Yeah.
One of the problems, in fact, Tara and I talked about this yesterday, is if we were somehow able to come back full time before the end of the school year, we would not be able to offer the after-school program because we don't have the staff. The staff that we're using now are staff that would be placed back into their normal position. And she is about a third of the staff that she needs to be able to run the program. And again, we have the ongoing issue of nobody applying for part-time jobs because they're making too much money being unemployed. So. Is that an answer for you?
That answers
okay.
Thank you.
I'll move on to other local. So we had some additional special ed dollars that came in the tune of $21,000. Don't get all excited because we have additional bills that came in for special ed. So total revenues, we went up $283,070. So our working budget right now is $19,308,087.73. So moving on to expenditures, certificated salaries. So those went up about $78,000. Most of that is either grants or adjustment salaries. People turn in units and move up, and et cetera. So $78,000 more than first interim. Classified, we went down about $42,000. Part of that is resignations on employees that we have not rehired. And also docs. We have classified people that have used up all every leave that they can imagine that they can use, and they're now getting docs for what they're not there. So that comes off the top. So it's a savings of about 42,000.
So I have a question about, you said some of it has to do with grants. So a teacher is making more money because they've got a grant, like FFA or something?
No, not making more money necessarily.
You said that was the 70.
Well, no, we're getting more money from the grant. So when we budgeted, we thought we might, I'm just going to throw a number out, maybe we thought we were going to get $400,000, and we ended up getting $425,000.
Okay.
So the money is coming in at a higher amount than what we had originally budgeted.
Okay. Thank you.
That number seems kind of low for as much as like.
This?
Yeah.
Well, again, remember, we're only in second interim.
Okay.
When we hit the end of the school year, you're going to see something totally different.
Okay.
So I like to put this slide up there every time just to remind everybody that an employee costs a lot more than what you see in their salary. Those are the percentages that we pay. The first two are retirements, and then Social Security, Medicare, unemployment insurance, workers' comp. and health and welfare. So.
Thanks.
Yeah. Okay, next one. So our employee benefits, because salary changes, so somewhat of our benefits go down. Now, people assume that's medical benefits. No, it's everything that I just read before. And it's all tied to the amount of money that people are paid. So if we go down in salaries, that's going to go down. Books and supplies went up about $14,000. And most of that, again, is either budget revisions where we move money around, or it's workforce grant. Services and other outgoing, spending about $61,000 more than first interim. It's an increase in grant dollars, movement of materials and supplies, in addition to this strong workforce grant. So a lot of the changes are having to do with that grant. No capital outlay, we're not buying any buildings. Other outgo, so special ed went up about $6,000. That's a transfer that we have to give to the county. Remember, we're buying services for the county currently. We will continue to buy some services, but next year we are taking over the county program. In fact, you tonight approved some of the employees on the classified end that will be coming over with the program. Transfer indirect costs is minimal, $58 difference. So total expenditures went up about $78,000. So it's always good when your expenditures go up less than your revenue, right? So moving on, we transfer out about $34,000 for the continued free breakfast support and the child development contribution. And then we get money from Impact Aid for kids that are in preschool, and so we use some of that to offset the preschool program. So the second interim update, our total revenues were $19,308,000. Our total expenditures were $19,772,000. So it's a difference of $463,000 in the red. So we're gonna spend more based on today. We're gonna spend more than we're gonna bring in. However, moving to what it was, so at first in the budget, we were like 1.something million. Then we moved down to 668,000 at first interim, and now we're at 463. So we're in the good for this one, about 204,000. And again, I just reiterate, this number is never right. And I'll show you that here in a second. Go ahead, go to the next one. So if we were to overspend by $463,000, our fund balance would move down by that amount to $4.5 million. And what are the components of the fund balance? So we have the revolving cash account. We have the restricted money that goes to certain items that we can't spend on anything else. We have the reserve for economic uncertainties. We have the salary and benefits. We have accrued vacation that we have to allot for. We have $1.6 million of lottery, textbook adoptions. The textbook adoptions have been put on hold, but we're hoping that we'll be able to adopt science for next year. And so that will bring that number down. Multi-year projections, I'm not going to read all these numbers. It's just a shot in the dark. You know, we always budget very conservatively, and we're even more conservative. So this is what I was talking about, where it never ends up the way we say originally. So I'm not going to go all the way back, but look at 2017-18. We said we were going to overspend by $1.9 million. We overspent by $760,000. The next year, we said we were going to overspend by $1.2 million, and we ended up in the good by $600,000. Last year was an anomaly, and I explained this before, but I'll explain it again. We said we were going to overspend by $1.9 million. We overspent by $1.6 million, but of that $1.6, $1.2 of it was because they didn't pay us. It was deferred. So that's a big portion of it. And then other funds, where's the money in the other funds? I'm going to let you read through that if you have any questions specifically about it. I'm happy to answer that.
Will you forward us your PowerPoint at your convenience? Just
sure will. This the last one is the Fund 67 self-insurance open. That one was always, it's really an on paper kind of a thing that we have to account for. So that is it for the second interim. It's looks good. And again, none of the money that we'll be getting is in here. However, most of the money that we're getting is more of a restricted pot than an unrestricted pot. So I don't know that it's gonna help a lot, other than if the schools say they had in their budget to buy 20 computers, we might now be able to buy it out of this new money and they get to save that money for the future.
Well, thank you for that. And thanks Brenda for us and whoever else. I know there's probably a lot of hands in that pot that make that work, but thank you.
Sure.
So any further questions, comments? If not, I will entertain a motion to approve the 2020-21 second interim report, budget revisions and EPA certification.
I move to approve.
First?
I'll second it.
Second, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, we're going to move on to 5.3, Wheatland Charter Academy Renewal.
So this was brought last time to a public hearing, and it is to renew the Wheatland Charter Academy for a five-year renewal. Everything is going well in the Wheatland Charter Academy. Their test scores are good, their attendance is good. You know.
We're just switching the principal though, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, yeah. I just was making sure that was happening.
Yeah, and it's nice to get a five-year renewal. Because
I'm still here, Nikki.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, oops.
We won't have to do it again for 5 years. So in the renewal, I'm happy to answer any questions that you have, but it was brought to the Wheatland Charter Academy parent board yesterday and they approved it, and understand that you guys have to approve it because it is a dependent charter, which is different than an independent charter.
But seriously, hats off to you, Jody. Great job.
Thank you.
You know I was teasing.
Oh, I was gonna cry, but I restrained.
Okay.
I do have, if you can make it up to me by signing a paper that Melissa has, because I need it to send into the state. So you and Craig need to sign it.
Okay.
We're already on that, but thanks for the reminder. Appreciate it.
Micromanaging Jody, there she is.
No, she told me she was gonna remind me. So it's up for you for approval.
Any further questions or comments? Otherwise, I'll entertain a motion to approve the Wheatland Charter Academy renewal.
I'll make a motion to approve the Wheatland Charter Academy renewal.
First?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, we will move on to 5.4, Revive's 2021-22 school calendar.
Okay, so there's not a significant change that I'm recommending. The old calendar had us starting on August 11th, and this moves us to August 18th. All of the breaks are exactly the same as they were before. Instead of ending June 2nd, we would end June 9th. Basically, I'm trying to create some space in between ending a little later this year because we changed the calendar so that we have time to roll everything over and get ready for the new school year. So that's the only change currently. Obviously, if there's some point in looking at changing the number of days and all of that, then it would change the calendar. But for now, this is what we would want to get out to parents so they can plan accordingly. I'm happy to answer any questions. We went through and changed all the dates on the side, and we went through it four times, so somebody will still find an error, I'm sure, but that's what we're at.
So you pushed it back in August to start later because school's going to last longer than usual.
Yeah, because remember, we were going to start, we pushed the calendar back this year in August,
much later in August. So we're ending later in June. So the differential of days between when we end this school year and the beginning of the next school year, it was too early or too small in my opinion. And the other piece of it is we build our calendar a lot because of the high schools wanting to end their trimester at Christmas break. But our high school now is not as gung-ho about that. And so we can look at not having to start so darn early in August. And then ending at the first week of June instead of pushing it the other way.
Texas summer.
Have a little more summer. Same number of days, just not where they are.
I like it. I hope it becomes like that. I like it.
It's starting later in August. I mean, it'd be nice to start on the 25th, but then it puts us into the whole.
It used to be on the 20th. I mean, it used to be that week long time ago. And I love the 2-week Christmas thing. And yeah.
The 2-week Christmas thing, I don't, again, this has been a very odd year for our staff. So I don't know if they really experienced the difference between 2 and 3 weeks. And we didn't have the February week because we had to take that away when we changed the calendar. So this would be the first time we'll have February week. Everybody who has that February week loves it. But whether we will, we had 4 days, so it was kind of nice.
Did you want me to vote against this just to keep tradition
going? Keep tradition alive, yeah.
Any other questions or comments about this calendar?
There's a comment.
Thanks, John.
Will we be different than the high school calendar? Robin, hopefully not. I've worked with both Nicole and Jeff, and Nicole at the high school said they like this one, but they're waiting to see what Plumas Lake will do. Plumas is, it's hard to know. They don't make their decision until the night of the board meeting. So it should be identical. We're going to be identical on the breaks. It's just a matter of whether or not we will start a week later or they will end a week earlier or not. But I think that the high school will probably follow this one. But I can't guarantee it.
They are going to do the week in February?
Yes. They did the week in February this year. Remember, when we changed, they didn't change. So.
Why is it February and not March? Because we already have 2 holidays and we're just tying it all in.
Yeah, March
is a long month with no holidays. Is it ski week?
That's what they call it, a ski week. But it's been kind of an ongoing.
It's National Week, birthday month, and Robin month. So we take a week off.
I mean, if you remember back when we were all in school, we got 2 weeks of Christmas. We went to school 2 of the days at Thanksgiving, and we didn't have a February break, but we didn't start till the end of August, beginning of September.
After Labor Day.
After Labor Day. Yeah. But we went into almost the middle of June. So.
We could start on the 25th if we didn't have that week.
We could.
And you still have a long week and weekend too. I thought it worked out perfect this year. I mean, it would have been.
But we didn't have a month and week at Monday.
I think everybody.
And I was in school.
Oh, yeah.
We are definitely not to come.
If we did that, if we started a week later and didn't take the week in February, we would not follow what the high school is doing. It would be very different because they love that week. So
that's what I thought.
So it's up to the board if you want to approve changing the calendar so we can get it out to everybody.
Well, if there's no more comment, I would move that we revise the 2021-2022 school calendar.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Got a new calendar for right now. Any board comments before we move to closed session? Okay. With that being said, we will close open session. Thank you for joining.
Thank you.